across Western New York at 100.9, 103.7, 104.3, 104.9, and 105.5. This is WCJW, Warsaw, Batavia, Arcade, Avon, and Geneseo. Today's favorites and the legends. Western New York's CJ Country.
Welcome to the weekend and the CJ Agribusiness Report. Our Saturday crew is standing by. Tom and Tim, Jeff and Bill, John Block and more. Grab your coffee and let's get started. Here's Andrew McCray and Farming the Countryside.
This edition of Farming the Countryside is brought to you by Corteva AgriScience Range and Pasture. Your land, your herd, our commitment. Learn more at rangeandpasture.com/countryside. Welcome to Farming the Countryside. I'm Andrew McCray. Sales of new machinery have slowed, but parts of the machinery market remain strong as farmers invest their dollars in good, used equipment. What parts of the market are the strongest, and what are the best buying and selling strategies for 2026? It's our topic for this week's Farming the Countryside, brought to you by Corteva AgriScience Pasture and Range. Here's a look at some of the work we've been doing with Corteva AgriScience Pasture and Range on our farm.
Well, spring of 2026 here, I think our plan is look at the ultigraze and a couple of places where we need to do that just because we need the fertility, but we also need the weed control in some hard-to-get-to places. But then we'll prioritize pastures that didn't get treated with Novagraze or Adoracor last year, just knowing those are probably the problem spots. Evaluate what we did use Novagraze with last year and see if we have enough annual espadiza that helps with weed control, or if we need to go in and spray there again to help continue to promote that espadiza and hopefully even some white clover.
White clover is really nice to introduce into these cool season grass pastures. It is very tolerant to lower soil pHs, to poor fertility, and so they're a little more forgiving than a lot of other legumes. But having white clover in there also is going to help you out with your nutritional needs for your cattle.
To see more from our farm and others, just go to rangeandpasture.com/countryside. Casey Seymour is host of the Moving Iron podcast, a guy that is always looking at the trends in the farm machinery market. Tighter crop margins have pushed off the purchases of some new equipment, making some farmers more interested in finding used items for a lesser cost. So what areas of the market remain strong, and are there any key points or strategies to keep in mind during these times? Casey and I discussed some of those points, and he shared his insights on what he has seen in the marketplace. Casey Seymour joins me here on Farming the Countryside, host of the Moving Iron podcast, and everything dealing with machinery. Casey, good to visit with you here.
Thanks for having me back, Andrew.
Yeah. So are you at home today? I know you're on the road a bunch.
Yeah, I'm back home. Actually early this morning. So I'm back in my office here for the finish out the week.
Well, you know, you're out there for a variety of reasons, of course, and different things, but are you getting to a lot of auctions and those types of things right now? What are you seeing in the machinery marketplace?
Yeah, I've been paying attention to a lot of stuff that's going on in the auction space. You know, since COVID, a lot of those, I used to love going to auctions, one of my favorite things to do, and since COVID, a lot of those have switched to online, so we have to watch them virtually now, and then not so much in person. But, you know, what we're seeing in the auction space right now is, you know, go back, you know, rewind the clock about a couple of years, and dealerships are really going through a disposal of a lot of inventory, and they've kind of got themselves in a better spot than where they were, so they've kind of laid that off a little bit. Not to say there's still not some onesie-twosie stuff going on out there, but the big, massive, you know, we're going to go out and sell, you know, 30 combines or 40 tractors in one day type thing, like we're not seeing that stuff take place. But we are seeing is a lot of farm retirement sales, some farm liquid, unfortunately, a lot of farm liquidation stuff, forced retirements and those kind of things popping up. And when you see those things get moved into the auction space, you're seeing some really good equipment get pushed through there. And the prices are reflecting that. So if you go back and look at where pricing at auctions were this time last year, we're up a little bit from year over year. I want to say we're up like 12% on certain stuff. Well, we are seeing a lot of stuff sell right now, and in the age range that we're seeing stuff sell is basically that that 5 to 10 year old stuff is really what you're starting to see surface mostly, and the 1 to 2 year old stuff isn't really making its way through the auction as much, but we are seeing some of that pop in there. And all things considered, for auction value, a lot better pricing, a lot better supply. Like, not a lot of supply right now going through the auction space, so you're seeing some of that come up. To me, that's always a big indicator of what the marketplace looks like from a stability standpoint. When the auction prices every week's worse than the week before, we're not seeing that. We're seeing a very stable marketplace. We're starting to see it kind of gradually creep up a little bit, which is drawing some folks into the market. I will say this: if you go look at dealer markets right now, and a lot of my friends from the dealer space I talk to tell me a lot about, you know, we've got a lot of 1 to 2 year old stuff. Then we got a lot of, you know, the next kind of jumps into that 12 year old stuff, and that stuff in the middle is really getting bought and moved very quickly when they bring it in. So still some obstacles out in the marketplace right now, but significantly more stable than it was 18 months ago.
Yeah, let's unpack some of what you talked about there, because we had several different things, and let's go to the dealers first, because you were talking about them. You know, when we had the last big downturn, maybe 13, 14, and so forth, my perception was a lot of dealers had a lot of used equipment on their lots. And as you mentioned, they said, we're not going to do that anymore. So have they done a pretty good job this time as we go into a time of tighter margins that they aren't stuck? I'll say stuck with a lot of equipment on their lots. What have they done differently this time than they did, you know, a decade ago or so?
Yeah, so coming out of that specific time frame, you had a, you know, when the rest of the world was kind of getting crunched by the Great Recession, ag was on fire, right? It was really doing well. 2010, 11, and 12 were some of the best years in ag, probably historically. You know, we started looking at price leading on farm income and those kind of things. Obviously, that contracted in 13, 14, 15. Dealerships took a lot of stuff they had, 80% of what they had in most places to auction and got rid of it that way. Got themselves into a good spot and kind of got everything squared away. That leveling out of the marketplace in about 2017 was where you really felt things kind of get back to normal. Dealerships could kind of go back to an even keeled conversation with the customers that they were working with, because again, those customers were feeling the same pinch that the dealerships were when it came to, you know, on-farm income and all the different stuff that was out there. So that kind of fixed itself. Fast forward to 2020, COVID comes and shuts the world down, and it incredibly delays what's going on in the marketplace as far as getting tractors where they need to go and combines, those kind of things. Fast forward to 2023, the end of 2022, 2023, and everything that got canceled seemed like it all showed up at one time. So you had like 2.5 years worth of stuff hit the marketplace all in one swath, which also brought in 2.5 years worth of trade-ins at the same time. Flooded the market, went from zero to a billion pieces of equipment in about 6 months. And so those dealerships took between 2022 and 2023, 2024 time frame really had to go through a big liquidation, because it wasn't necessarily the number of machines, but it's the dollars associated with those machines and the interest rates on top of that, which were driving, you know, $3,500 a month worth of interest costs per machine. When you do that times 50 or 100, that adds up pretty quick, right, to a pretty big number. So you're starting to see that way through. Dealerships are still figuring their way through that right now. You look at how they're handling all the auctions, or I'm sorry, all the interest associated with those machines, and being a lot more conscious about what they're doing. A lot of the conversations I'm having with folks is they're limiting the number of machines they're selling, and new machines anyway, the number that they're selling, and because of the associated trade-ins that come in behind. And that is, and I think that's something that's going to continue to happen. You look at where order writing periods were for 2025 for 26 delivery, it was way off. If you go back to 2022, it was something like 65% less new machines got sold in 25 for 26 delivery than were sold in 22 when it was, you know, when things kind of got escalated. So huge drop off in the number of machines. You know, 26 orders for 27 delivery are probably going to look similar to each other, and how that looks. Don't really anticipate seeing anything there. It wouldn't surprise me if it rolled back a little bit, that were maybe 5 or 6% back from where it was to start with. So, again, it's going to have a big effect on the used equipment space when you start looking at the number of machines that are actually out there available for sale and what those machines are. Because the way that works is, you know, you got to sell the 1 and 2 year old machine to a guy that's got a 3 to 5 year old machine. So you can have a 3 to 5 year old machine on your lot and so on and so forth down the line. And so you got to keep that rolling and keep that turning. And that's something right now dealers are just, you know, it's not, I want to say it's not happening because obviously you guys are buying equipment. It's just not nearly in the numbers of people coming, banging on the door saying, hey, I want a new combine, a new to me combine or a new to me row crop tractor or something like that with that $500,000 plus price tag. There's not a lot of people doing that.
If not as many people are buying new equipment, which doesn't surprise me, then are they still buying equipment? Are they buying the newer used equipment, and is that keeping that price up? And maybe at what point, if that price is going up, do they go back and say, I might as well just buy the new equipment? Where are we at in that equilibrium right now?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I look at it from the perspective, like, you have a lot of one-year-old stuff come and 1 and 2 year-old stuff on the marketplace now, significantly less than any time other in history, though, by the way. This is probably the lowest amount of machines that's been on the marketplace for my career, my 20-year career period. This has been way less than that. When I look at how what's driving folks to come in and play in the equipment game is a lot of conversations I've had with producers have been like, I typically trade every 3 years or 2 years or 5 years or whatever that might be, and just with the way the market is right now, I'm gonna extend that out maybe a year, maybe 2 more years. So the parts and service business at dealerships, obviously there's a lot of that going on, but there are folks coming in buying equipment. It's just, it takes a lot. And what we're seeing, one thing we are seeing, tracking and really seeing this come through in the data is people are planning on buying a piece of equipment. It's that it's so late in the cycle when they come and buy it, right? So like a good friend of mine, they were delivering planters that guys bought into Texas, North Texas and Oklahoma 2 weeks into when other people were already planting their crops down there, right? So these planters were showing up, and they got to get them ready and everything that's associated with that. And he said that wasn't a one-off situation because I've probably done that 10 or 15 times so far this year into different places. And same with, you know, last fall coming with combine and stuff like that, well into combine season, and here's the combine getting delivered to the customer. Now, anyway, circumstances, there could be any number of things, but I need it, I'm ready to buy it. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and buy it now. I'm going to wait a little bit. Okay, I'm going to buy it now. And it's just this, like, this contracting down the speed and velocity of which the machine comes through. Towards the end of the year last year, I was surprised at how many pieces of equipment were moved in that September to end of the year time frame. There's always a pretty good chunk of machines that get pushed through that time frame, but it was a bigger number than I had anticipated seeing it push its way through. So plenty of folks looking at stuff, plenty of folks out kicking tires and really getting their mind around what it is they want to do. It's just getting them to pull the trigger. It takes a little more work than it used to.
What are the strategies right now that farmers should consider if they're looking for new or used? Because you said things have gotten shortened down. What should they be looking at as far as if they're going to make a trade? Is there any strategy behind how I do it?
Yeah, I think one of the big things I've seen a lot of lately is interest rates, right? So there's a lot of dealerships that have here's 10 whatever, 10 combines or whatever it might be, and this list of 10 combines has 0% interest for 24 months or a 12-month waiver, or the 12-month waiver followed by 4.9% interest or something like that, which if you look at standard rate right now, standard rate I think somewhere around 6.5-7%, right? So that's a big savings, right? I think some of those ones I've looked at where they do a 12-month waiver followed by, you know, 4.9%, I think the effective interest rate somewhere in that 3.5 to 3.7 range, which is probably pretty competitive if you still have a note back before all the stuff took off and ran up on interest rates, you know, pre 2020. So it'd be very comparable to what you had out there. So pay close attention to what you see out there for interest rates. Take your time and really search that and work and walk your way through that. I think secondly is, you know, paying close attention to who owned the machine before the one that you're buying, if it's a used one, who owned it before it, what kind of service records can you take a look at and see what's been done to it and what needs to be done to it, what's your time frame look like for that particular piece of equipment to come through. One other thing, I used to work with guys a lot on doing this was, you know, look at your cash flow and how does buying this machine right now effectively look at your cash flow. There was instances where the down payment money they needed was covered by the equity in the machine that they had, and they didn't have to make a payment for a year. So actually, there was no cash that had to come out that year for equipment. So that kind of helped them get in a better position. So take a look at that. And I think the last thing I would say is, I talked about this a little bit ago, but truly understand the machine that you got coming, right? And take the time and really study what you're buying, because stuff's not cheap anymore to fix. It's you got to really pay close attention to that. And I know some people like them and some people don't, but I've always been a big fan of extended warranties. And is the machine that you have, do they have some extended warranty left on it that you're buying? And if not, what's it look like to add some extended warranty? Because again, it's just an insurance policy to help you overcome some damages down the way when it comes to unexpected failure or something like that.
Let's talk about those extended warranties for a moment, because I do hear plenty of people, and myself included, that you look at them. How do you do the math on them? I'm guessing you have looked at the math and said it's all right. And then with that policy, are you doing it with the dealer? Are you doing it through somebody else? Or what policies are you looking at?
Yeah, so most dealerships have, the captive, whether it's a Deere or Case or whoever. They've got some, a John Deere or a CNH extended warranty program that's out there. And there's some like machinery skills to give them to look at. If you're looking at some stuff that's beyond kind of at maybe outside of some of the stuff that the captives will do. The extended warranty, I'm hit and miss on extended warranties when I buy them personally, right? So if I'm buying a brand new truck, I'm probably not going to buy an extended warranty because I've got 36,000 miles of warranty, and we just got to see what it looks like when you go from there. I think some of the things that you can look at is, and I'm just going to throw a number out there. If you're out there working your machine and something crazy happens, I've seen machines out of the factory break, blow up engines with 50 hours on them, right? Completely shell the engine out, right? It just didn't get put together right, or who knows what caused that. So just because it's brand new doesn't mean now that would be covered under warranty, obviously. But if it's a 500-hour machine that blows up and you've had it for a year or two, and it goes through that process, that's a $100,000 engine maybe that you're looking at to fix that. And if you trade it back in, well, there's issue, that $100,000 has to come from somewhere, right? So whether you train it in and your reconditioning costs or whatever it might be, it's insurance thing at that point, all the stuff that comes into that. I look at extended warranties to me as, unless you have money set aside someplace for these kind of things, they're worth the juice is worth the squeeze for me personally, because I don't necessarily have $12,000 or $15,000 to replace an engine in a used truck that we got. And my son, I got him a truck when he turned 16, and I had it for a year and a half, and some of the phasers went out in the engine, and it locked the engine up. Well, that cost me $7,500 to get that engine replaced. Thought I had extended warranty on that truck, which I probably couldn't have because of its age, but hypothetically, if I could have, it's not $7,500 I would have had to come up with out of thin air. And I think the same thing applies, but it's just on a grander scale when you start talking about farm equipment and what it looks like. So I always just looked at an extended warranty to me as it's an insurance policy to help you. Dealerships don't make a ton of money selling extended warranty programs, so don't think like it'll cost me $6,000 extra to get this and the dealership's making $5,000. That's not nowhere near that at all. It's just an insurance policy that helps you make sure that if something does happen, you're taken care of. And if it doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen. You can sleep better now, I guess. But there's you spend $6,000 on a combine, your combine fails, it don't take long to cover $6,000 on a combine repair.
Right. Let's look at the equipment market as a whole. Are there places that are hotter than others, whether it is regions of the country or types of equipment, combines, planters, so forth? What are you seeing out there in the data?
No, really, what we're seeing is if it's that 5 to 10 year old stuff right now is really, really come up in value. Greg Peterson and I do the Moving Iron podcast together, and obviously Greg's followed auctions his whole career, so he sees a lot of stuff come through, and a lot of stuff we've seen come through. Some of the stuff has been some older stuff with really low hours, but we've also seen some stuff where we've watched some older combines sell that have. Like an S670, for example, that sold in somewhere in North Carolina. It had 2,500 engine hours on it, which that's a lot of hours on a combine. It sold for $135,000, which is, probably 35 to $40,000 more than I've seen anything close to a software, even on the high end, right? So watching that kind of stuff roll through, now is that the new norm? Probably not, but you're seeing those kind of one-off things come up, and really the story behind all these machines that we see that have some higher hours on them or older, those kind of things, is that they've told a really good story behind why the machine is what it is. They've also can show, hey, I greased every cert every time before I got in it, right? And here's the documentation that shows all that. And here's all the engine oil changing. Here's all the repairs and those kind of things. They've told really good stories about the machines that are there. If you can't get a good story about a piece of equipment before you got to sell, you're going to get just the average price everybody else gets. And that's just how that is. So we're seeing a lot of that 5 to 10-year-old stuff that moves through, go and work this way through there. One thing I will say is that with the amount of equipment that's been pushed through right now, that you see this happen when things kind of go through these cycles. That really good cherry stuff that's bringing good money right now, it eventually kind of that cream gets taken off the top. And what's left kind of surfaces back up like the next best thing, and it kind of fills those same spots as far as dollars go, right? So you're getting maybe not the same machine, but you're paying the same price for it, right? Doesn't mean the market's moved or anything like that. It's just this is the next best stuff available, and people are still paying this much for it. And they kind of work this way through there. And you start as the machines start to get less cherry, for lack of a better term, that you start seeing some auction prices kind of resettle in there, because I'm not going to pay you $75,000 for this one now, right? I'll pay you $75,000 for these other two, but not this one. And that's what you're starting to see happen. Some of that's kind of happening now. About the time we think that the market is kind of starting to kind of settle back down a little bit, we see some stuff like I just talked about, that combine, something like that kind of pop back up in there. But for the most part, the auction space is really being driven by that 5 to 10-year-old stuff that's in really, really good shape and is keeping prices up, and it's actually carrying the lesser equipment up with it as well. So it's good to see that happen.
Does it surprise you at all with the margins that are projected for this year, and considering what's happened in past years, that we still have the strength we do?
Well, I think it shows the resilience of the American farmer, a couple things there, but also shows you some of the equity positions that are out there and the ability to draw back on some of that stuff, and how good of business decisions that the American farmer has made over the last, when things were good, right? And made some good decisions on, hey, we're gonna buy down, or we're gonna pay down a few things here and there. So it's good to see that. It does feel like the pressure on the mid level, 2,000 acre to 7,000 acre farmer is real. You can really feel that. And a lot of those are older producers that maybe don't have a succession plan coming back in, and kind of quit growing their operation, and now they're ready to get out. You're starting to see some of that. But there's a lot of young farmers out there that are in that 1,000, 2,000 acre range that they physically either own or have paid off throughout some generational stuff or whatever it might be, that are, leasing another 2,000 or 3,000 acres on top of that. And that's causing some problems. So it's a tight market altogether, but, I look and see what these guys are doing, and it feels like they've made really good decisions when things were really good. And there's some guys that are just working through some stuff that just bad luck and working your way through it. But overall, if you would ask me, hey, we're going to be in this horrible downturn for 3 years, because it feels like these downturns are a lot sharper and a lot more, the good time is a lot more constrained, and then the bad times a lot more extreme, but it's really, really epic what happens inside those shorter time windows. And this has been 3 years of a downturn, which that's not uncommon for downturns to be 3 or 4 years long, but this is just the stuff that's inside of this particular downturn, unlike anything else we've seen when it comes to interest rates, input costs, and commodity prices. It's just, man, it's just like a giant weight on the overall market right now, and we really need to see something happen, or a lot of that equity is just going to be ate up, and it's going to take a long time to get it back.
Before we wind up, you've mentioned it, but how can folks find you out there? The Moving Iron Podcast, probably the best way.
Yeah, Moving Iron Podcast. You can see it on Farm Journal's YouTube channel. You'll check it out there under AgWeb. You can listen to it there as well. But anywhere else you find podcasts, go there. You can find, you want to message me. I'm on Facebook, X, Instagram, LinkedIn, either Moving Iron Podcast or Moving Iron LLC, one of the two. And you can find me there. So,
Casey, always good to visit with you.
Appreciate you, Andrew. Thanks for having me on, man.
Thanks for joining me on this week's show. Remember, you can hear these shows in a variety of ways at farmingthecountryside.com under the Listen tab, on many local radio stations, or use your favorite podcast platform to scroll for other topics of interest from this show as well. I appreciate you joining me. I'm Andrew McCray. I'll catch you next time on Farming the Countryside. This edition of Farming the Countryside has been brought to you by Corteva AgriScience Range and Pasture. Your land, your herd, our commitment. Learn more at rangeandpasture.com/countryside.
Standing by is Tom and Tim with the Ag RadioNet Farm News. When we return, it's Agriculture Today with Tony St. James in just a moment.
Make Mother's Day memories at Alex's Place. Treat mom to a delicious dinner with chef-inspired entrees, plus Alex's classics like our famous baby back ribs and slow-roasted prime rib. They'll be serving their special Mother's Day menu only. Seating is available from noon to 8, with reservations open for parties of all sizes. Let us do the work this Mother's Day. Reserve your table today at 344-2999. Alex's Place in Batavia. Oh man, now I want ribs.
Targeted violence is premeditated violence and is usually directed at a specific individual, group, or location. Targeted violence is different from impulsive, reactive, or emotional acts of violence. Targeted violence can include school shootings, workplace violence, domestic violence, stalking, and terrorist attacks. Please contact the Wyoming County Threat Assessment Committee confidential tip line at 786-6001 if a classmate, coworker, partner, family member, friend, or neighbor starts demonstrating concerning behaviors. For immediate concerns, please call 911.
This is Agriculture Today.
We've seen cooler temperatures over a lot of the country, and their ideas that that has caused the start of the consumer grilling season to start a touch later than normal. That could, and that in price certainly could be true. But as an industry observer, do I think that the seasonality of that spring grilling season, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Memorial Day, even all the way to the 4th of July, do I think that demand surge is still in front of the market? I absolutely do.
Don Close is a senior protein analyst with Terrain. He's also been looking at the inversion of the Choice Select spread and admits it's drawn quite a bit of attention, but says the signal really no longer means what it once did. He argues that today's beef mix has changed so much that the spread is now a poor measure of whether consumers are trading down to a lower quality product. He said that old relationship mattered when beef supplies were split much more evenly between Choice and Select. At that time, retail chains commonly carried Select. Branded beef really wasn't a major factor, and Prime made up only a small share of carcasses. But it's no longer relevant in today's market. Retail stores now largely carry Choice and Better. Prime much more common. Select supplies have contracted sharply. He said the smaller Select supply itself can push prices higher and create an appearance of stronger demand. Speaking of demand, U.S. ethanol and distillers grains exports both moved higher in March, adding support to corn demand through fuel and feed channels. Latest trade data showing stronger ethanol shipments to Canada and the European Union, while dried distillers exports also posted a solid monthly gain. U.S. ethanol exports up 4% in the month of March. Canada remains the top destination, up 23% year over year, while shipments to the European Union up 18% That's the highest level in 6 years. Several other markets showing strength. Ethanol exports to the Philippines, up 157%. To Colombia, 34% higher. South Korea, up 52%. While China's new beef safeguard duties may do less to curb imports than officials intended. That's according to retired USDA economist Dr. Fred Gehl. He says imported beef, especially from Brazil, may still remain competitive in China, even if the extra duties are triggered later this year. China imported about 870,000 metric tons of beef during the first quarter of this year. That's up 27.5% from the same period a year earlier. And Dr. Gehl said imports accounted for nearly a third of China's beef supply in the quarter. That's up about a fourth from last year. The safeguard system took effect back in January. It allows China to impose an extra 55% duty once imports from a supplying country exceed a set quota. Brazil, China's dominant supplier, had already filled more than half of its annual quota in just the first 3 months. Australia is also past the halfway mark. It's Agriculture Today.
Attention seniors on Medicare and Medicaid, or receiving extra help for your prescription drugs. We have great news. You can change or enroll into a Medicare plan every 3 months if you qualify, all from the comfort and safety of your own home, over the phone. No one even needs to come to your home. And in minutes, we'll tell you all about some additional new Medicare benefits for you, like dental, vision, hearing, transportation, and more. Call us. We'll explain all your new Medicare benefits. Premiums are as low as $0 per month. Even if you are not paying anything for your coverage now, you need to call our licensed agents to review your plan. There are zero-cost plans available in some areas. Don't wait till next year. Get all the Medicare benefits you deserve. Call a licensed agent today.
800-793-1960. 800-793-1960. That's 800-793-1960. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans.
More of today's favorites and the legends headed your way at 6. But for now, it's more of the news and information that farmers and producers of CJ Country can use. When our CJ Agribusiness Report returns, it's the AgRadioNet Farm News with Tom Cassidy and Tim Slezarczyk. Stay tuned.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
This is the Ag Radio Network Farm News. I'm Tom Cassidy with Tim Slezarczyk.
New legislation supporting rollover prevention and safety was introduced in the Senate last week. The legislation is to help protect farmers from fatal tractor rollovers through USDA's cost share grant program that retrofits older tractors with roll bars and other protections. The act, called the ROPS Act, Rollover Protection and Safety Act, continues operation of the National ROPS Rebate Program. Farmers relying on the effective program, which would expire without congressional action. Senator Hyde Smith of Mississippi introduced the legislation with some Democrat backers. Smith said, "We need to extend the small but important program that saves lives in rural America. Farming and ranching can be dangerous work, made even more perilous because receiving help after an accident in rural areas takes considerable amount of time. Making retrofitting tractors affordable is worthwhile." She hopes the life-saving legislation finds broader support in the Senate and in the House. Under the ROPS Act, grants for retrofitting tractors with roll bars and other protective improvements would cover up to 70% of cost of purchasing, transporting, and installing ROPS or roll bars with a $500 out-of-pocket cap for farmers or eligible schools. In addition to providing grants to dramatically lower financial barriers and save lives, the legislation also creates a program administrator as well as a website and hotline to facilitate the application process. A number of ag organizations also endorse the ROPS Act, including the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, American Farm Bureau Federation, along with Farm Credit and a number of other farm industries. Having spent an entire career working to ensure farmer safety and well-being at work, it's been difficult to hear stories about traumatic deaths and injuries caused by tractor overturns. That according to Julie Sorensen, the chair of the National ROPS Rebate Program.
Seed Innovation Protection Alliance seed company members invest 15% of sales into new seed innovations for your cereal acres. Check the bag for certified seed or single-use agreement restrictions so you don't step over the line. Or talk to your seed dealer. Plant breeders develop better, stronger genetics for your farm. So let's reinvest together to improve yields and quality. Without your patronage and trust, seed companies wouldn't be able to continually develop new genetics, traits, seed treatments, and other innovations to meet your needs.
The global protein market's been undergoing a period of adjustment with shifting trade flows. There's also been changes in export volumes, with some places really growing. Political pressure has reshaped how meat is moving around the world. Australia has emerged as a major driver in global beef trade, exports climbing as that country continues to rebuild its cattle herd following years of drought. Improved pasture conditions and herd expansion have allowed Australian exporters to increase shipments in key markets across Asia and the Middle East, where here in the U.S., prolonged drought has brought our cattle herd to its lowest in more than 60 years, and big appetite for domestic beef has been shrinking the export market. Brazil is exerting growing influence as well, but that in poultry. The world's largest chicken exporter, Brazil, has expanded shipments, supported competitive pricing with abundant feed supplies. They have access to a wide range of international markets. Poultry exports from Brazil have increased their footprint across Asia, Africa, and even in parts of the Middle East. That has intensified competition for other protein exporters, reinforcing poultry's role as the lower-cost alternative to beef. The expansion of Australian beef and Brazilian poultry has reshaped global protein trade flows, that's altered sourcing strategies for importers, and placed pressure on regions with higher costs and more restrictive regulations. The biggest place that has affected has been Europe, with those pressures playing out on the streets. Farmers are protesting trade policies they say undermine domestic production, with producers across many European countries voicing concern that trade agreements and import rules that allow our lower-cost meat to enter the European market without meeting the environmental and animal welfare standards that's required of European Union farmers.
And now another episode of One Soil to Live.
I just can't let you keep treating it like dirt, Claude.
Well, you know I don't mean to, Samantha. It's just I...
It's just what? You don't know it's alive?
Well, I...
Well, it is alive. And if you want to get the most out of it, you'll follow these four principles to keep it healthy and functioning.
All right, Samantha. I'm listening.
First, keep it covered. And keep living roots in it throughout the year with diverse plants and rotations. And finally, disturb it as little as possible.
And if I do as you say, Samantha?
If you do, Claude, I have a feeling it'll be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
There's an amazing amount of life in healthy soil. More importantly, that life can help make our nation's farms more productive, profitable, and resilient. Contact your local USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service office today and learn more about the basics and benefits of soil health. This message brought to you by USDA and this radio station.
This is the Ag Radio Network Farm News, a voice for farmers of the Northeast.
When it comes to getting more done and keeping your machines running, count on Kelly's Garage as your reliable parts and service dealer. They carry a large selection of durable, genuine AGCO parts that help you upgrade your machine's performance to reduce maintenance costs and downtime so you can stay focused. No matter the job, experience the difference with superior quality, genuine AGCO parts. Stop into Kelly's Garage, Route 246 in Perry Center today and stock up.
If you like to work hard and earn good money, we've got a job for you. Pavilion Drainage is hiring heavy highway road workers, including highway guardrail installers and full-time seasonal Class A CDL driver laborers. Starting pay around $35 an hour, working 40 to 50 hours per week, plus union benefits. Paid travel throughout the western half of New York. Apply in person or by phone to Pavilion Drainage Supply, 6630 Ellicott Street Road in Pavilion, or call 585-584-3261 and get to work earning great money today.
Harding Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning has been serving CJ Country for more than 45 years. With 24-hour emergency service and 10 technicians, Harding will get your plumbing, heating, or air conditioning work done. They are Wyoming County's preferred specialist for your plumbing, heating, and cooling needs. For small repairs to complete remodels and installs, call Harding Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning at 237-5561 or visit hardingplumbing.com.
Ever miss a farm show or want to hear something again? We keep a week's worth waiting for you on our webpage. Go to WCJW.com, then click on the Agribusiness tab to find the past seven shows. You're welcome. We're going to step aside for a message or two. Then it's Bill Baker and Dairy Rewind.
Farming and maintaining your property is a year-round job, and it's easier with the right equipment and support from Jeva Farm Supply. From feeding livestock in the field to keeping things running in the shop, Jeva Farm Supply has everything you need to stay productive. They offer genuine AgCo parts and certified service expertise you can count on, because the work never stops, and neither do they. Visit Jeva Farm Supply in Batavia, North Jeva, or Yorkshire, or shop online anytime. Jeva Farm Supply, your local family-owned source for genuine AgCo parts and service.
It's time to bring on the blooms at the Home Depot with Spring Garden Deals. Find savings on hanging baskets and flowers to brighten your backyard or any space that needs instant color. Then get everything you need to plant and protect them with low prices guaranteed on soil and mulch. Dig into Spring Garden Deals for 4 days at the Home Depot. Now through May 10th. Exclusions apply. See homedepot.com/pricematch for details.
It's time now for Inside Dairy, powered by Farm and Ranch Media, your fresh take on all things dairy. Now, here's your host, Susan Littlefield.
So there's skim milk, a.k.a. fat-free. There's 1% and 2%. Ever wonder why there isn't a 3%? Well, being a nerdy mom, I do. And you know what? There is one. That's right. It's called whole milk. Whole milk only has 3% milk fat, which, when you think about it, and I do, is not a lot of fat at all. And did you know that no matter what cow's milk you prefer, they all have 8 grams of protein? Of course, it is wonderful we have so many alternatives, but many nut and plant-based milk substitutes don't meet the nutritional levels naturally contained in dairy. And I'm not big on thickeners, flavorings, or added sugars. Bottom line, cow's milk is still the gold standard when it comes to nutrition. So sure, I'm a nerdy mom, but I love my cows. I mean, kids. I love my kids.
Milk for nerdy moms and just about everyone. Brought to you by Milk for Health on the Niagara Frontier, the guys and gals with the cows.
Have you ever had questions you wanted to ask a pastor but felt embarrassed to ask them? Questions about taboo issues like your sex life or politics or addiction or drinking, pornography, depression, suicide, or anxiety? Hi, I'm Pastor Mike Novotny, and I've written a book called Taboo that deals with all of these tough topics head on. In my book, you'll learn how God's Word, the Bible, will give you clarity, healing, forgiveness, and hope, even in life's most difficult moments. Email books at pureradio.org to request your free copy today. It's just that simple. Email books at pureradio.org. Learn what God says about all these topics and more by requesting your free copy today.
Small but mighty. That's the New Holland Workmaster 25S subcompact tractor. Larry Romance and Son in Arcade, Sheridan, and Woodhull has them in stock. With 25 horsepower, a 3-point hitch, and rear and mid-mount PTOs, it handles jobs a garden tractor just can't. You'll also get comfort, push-button cruise control, and simple 2-pedal operation. No clutching. See the Workmaster 25S today at Larry Romance and Son.
It's time now for Inside Dairy, powered by Farm and Ranch Media, your fresh take on all things dairy. Now, here's your host, Susan Littlefield.
And welcome to another edition of Inside Dairy, and it happens to be Dairy Market Friday. Sean Hackett's joining us with Hackett Financial Advisors as we look at the record prices of last month and how it's setting us up for May?
It's been a very good month, and what's really seemed to have tipped the scale are two things, according to me, us. One is, ever since the approval of the pill form of the GLP-1 drugs, which now I think 40 million Americans are now taking it, and the number, the numbers that are growing exponentially each and every month. And what we know for sure is that anyone that's taking GLP-1 drugs needs extra protein consumption to maintain muscle mass while they're losing their unwanted fat. And so we're getting this incredible increase in the demand for milk powders, which has been driving the milk powder market overseas, here as well. And it's really been impacting the skim milk powder market, S&P market. And so what's been happening is that we've been drawing milk supplies away from non-fat dairy milk to skim milk powder because it's more efficient at producing these milk powder drinks that everybody wants to consume more of. And it is completely setting the market upside down and creating shortages that were unexpected.
We will continue this conversation on this Market Friday with Sean Hackett in just a moment. You're listening to Inside Dairy.
Download the Farm and Ranch Media mobile app today and stay up to date with markets, ag weather, the latest news affecting agriculture, and much more. You can also listen back to past episodes of our farm programming from the American Ag Network, Agriculture of America, and Market Talk, along with podcasts such as American Ag Today, Cattle Chatter, Farm Unfiltered, Inside Dairy, and so much more. Search for Farm and Ranch Media in your Apple App Store or Google Play Store and download it for free today.
I greatly appreciate them coming and their time, what they've done, and I hope they can still keep on doing it for other people down the road.
Since 2006, Farm Rescue has helped to bridge the gap of crisis for farm and ranch families throughout the region. Through your generosity, we're able to provide free planting, haying, harvest, and livestock feeding assistance when unexpected injury, illness, or natural disaster strikes. Please help us continue our mission with a tax-deductible gift at farmrescue.org/donate today.
Welcome back to Inside Dairy as we continue on this Dairy Market Friday talking with Sean Hackett. Sean is with Hackett Financial Advisors.
The other factor that that's starting to show up is milk per cow efficiency is starting to falter. I think for three straight months we've seen a very significant fall off in milk per cow efficiency, albeit from a higher level. But what I believe is starting to happen is that the dairy herd is aging more than it should. The cows are being kept on longer. They're being fed longer as they're breeding them to the beef cows. And there's not being the sufficient replacement of the dairy herd to keep it fresh, to keep the production going. And I think what's starting to happen is that the dairy industry has gone too far with this whole, you know, beef cow scenario. And they've not done enough to keep the dairy herd actually thriving and fresh. And if we're correct about that, and these milk per cow efficiencies continue to falter, which has always been the saving grace of why U.S. dairy has always been able to grow production year in and year out, then on top of this really strong demand for protein that's come from GLP-1 drugs, we also may have a long-term headwind in not being able to grow milk per cow efficiency the way we want, even though the cow numbers aren't looking too bad. And I think those two factors have come together to create this unexpected surge. And it could be the reason why the commercial operators who know these factors better than anybody else may still think the prices are going higher because we're disrupting the normal flow of how supply and demand operate.
My conversation with Sean Hackett at Hackett Financial Advisors. Tune in on Monday because he's going to talk about commitment of traders and how you can use it in dairy. This is Inside Dairy.
For four generations, more residents have relied on Ed Hume Incorporated for all their building and renovating needs, whether it's construction, site development, home improvement, blacktop,
ponds, or other projects, their team is up for any challenge in front of them. Ed Hume Construction has two gravel pits in Wyoming County loaded with screened and crushed gravel, topsoil, scalpings, millings, stone products, and more. There isn't a job too big to handle. Call 786-5880 to see what else Ed Hume can do for you. Or stop in 17 East Buffalo Street in Warsaw.
We'll be back with a check of the forecast after this brief break.
The CJ WeatherTrack forecast brought to you by Upstate Niagara. Upstate Niagara Cooperative, farmer-owned by 260 family dairy farms, producing top-quality conventional and organic milk at the farm level that leads to award-winning finished dairy products. Bison Dip, Upstate Farms Yogurt, Sour Cream, Cottage Cheese, and Fluid Milk, home to Intense Milk and your lactose-free milk for life, all produced with care for their cows and commitment to their communities. Our forecast for today, a slight chance of a shower or a thunderstorm, high of 62. For tonight, showers likely, low down to 43. Tomorrow, partly sunny, the high of 56.
Just arrived in time for Mother's Day. Dozens and dozens of beautiful hanging baskets. Stop by the greenhouse at Burt's Lumber in Perry and pick out something special for Mom. All hanging baskets are just $20 each. In addition to the best hanging baskets around, Burt's has a great selection of garden tools and gloves, potting soils and mulch, bird feeders, seeds, and more. Mother's Day is Sunday, so you better get on this. Burt's Lumber in Perry, open 7 days a week, including Sundays 9 to 1.
CJ Country presents the CJ Country Record. It's your new quick read bulletin that's 100% local, just like CJ Country. Every month, dive into Terry Clifford's studio diaries, discover fun new places to explore with Past the Last Stoplight, and meet your neighbors and people you should know. Plus, the latest community calendar and Jimmy Jam's Jam Session Spotlight. The CJ Country Record, free in print and digital. Pick up your copy today at locations like
Silver Lake Family Restaurant in Warsaw, and John and Sarah's in Perry.
Here's a quick look at how your markets closed on Friday. Corn futures higher with July up 3.75 at 471 and a quarter. September up 3.5 at 477 and three quarters. December was up 4 at 493.5. July beans were up 15 and three quarters at 1208. August up 16 to 1202 and three quarters. November up 16 to 1189.5. Chicago July wheat was up 6 and three quarters at 619. September up 6 and three quarters to 634. Minneapolis spring wheat, July was up 4 3/4 at 678.5, and September up 5.5 at 699.5. In the hard red winter, July up 8.5 at 675.75, and September up 7.75 at 686.5. Cotton futures triple digits higher. July gained 173 points to 84.73. December up 177 to 85.46. And March up 172 to 86.13. Back in Chicago, June live cattle were off $1.15 at $248.90. August down $1.80 at $244.10. And October down 167.5 to $238.30. May feeders were up $1.05 at $367.37.5. August was down $1.95 at $364.22.5. September down $242.5 at $362.22.5. June lean hogs down 75 at $98.62.5. July was up 25 to $103.20. August up 32.5 to $104.42.5. In the class 3 milk, May was down 10 cents at $16.95. June down 14 to $17.33. Crude oil ended the day 61 cents higher at $95.42 on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrials up 12 at $49.609. The NASDAQ gained 440 at $26.247. The S&P was up 61 at $73.98.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing-fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it, and you're going to love the price. internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-923-9018. 800-923-9018. 800-923-9018. That's 800-923-9018.
Thanks for listening to the CJ Country Agribusiness Report. Catch it every Monday through Saturday starting at 5 a.m. And stand by for Western New York's morning show next on CJ Country.